They grow up so quick. He can be quite a ham in a good way. Please open your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew 11, looking at verse 28. Brother Henry, who I pray you continue to pray for as Christine has gone on to be with the Lord. Brother Henry came to me a couple of months ago and gave me a big old stack of tracts that Christine has collected over the years. Some of those tracts are so good, I want to keep them, but I know you got to give them out. It's not to be kept. So last night when I was at the park, I grabbed a handful, and as I was there giving them out, I noticed one, and it has on it, "Come." And I thought, like Brian, ooh, that's a confirmation, because it's the only one, and it is Matthew 11, 28, and it breaks it down. I want you also to take a look at the book of Galatians that we'll turn to a little bit later, and you'll see where it identifies with the passage that I'm speaking from, but let's go ahead and take a look at Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Let's go back to the Old Testament. Right after the book of Jeremiah is the book of Lamentations. And in Lamentations chapter 3, it says in verse 27, "It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth." Sister Frida, would you ask God's blessings on the message this morning, please? Amen. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart." And Jesus said, "Ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the best day of the week, the day we get to worship our Lord. And I believe this is one of the sweetest statements in the Bible. And I want to bring some things out that I believe are often overlooked. In fact, even this track, as it quoted it, overlooked some things. I'm sure it'll still have its impact. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Today's message will be short. I'll be done in 25 minutes. And I believe that many have missed a great truth in this passage. And I want to take a look at each word and then put them all together. We're not going to look at every word, but some very important words that will highlight the passage. The first word I wanted to look at is, I want us to consider this word rest. It is the reward that is offered for coming and doing what the Lord said. The rest that He promises is not a rest from your burden, but it is a rest that is promised to give you in your burden. God never promises to take your burden away. In fact, He said in Galatians that I referred to earlier, please turn to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5. And you will find these words, "For every man shall bear his own burden." It doesn't say that if you lack faith, you're going to have a burden. It says, every man shall bear his own burden. Not a thing wrong with you spiritually if you have a burden. Over the years, when someone says, "Brother Connor, I want you to pray that God will lift this burden." Well, I would want to pray for you, but it won't do any good because God is not going to remove it. But He will help you to bear it. And the first thing I want you to notice about this word rest, it means not rest from your burden, but a rest in your burden. The difference between us folk in the church that know the Lord Jesus Christ and the world is not the fact that we don't have burdens, but that we have rest in our burdens. God doesn't deliver you from your heartache, but He delivers you in your heartache. He gives you strength to bear your heartache. The second thing He does is, as I mentioned, not take your burden, as I've already said that. There was an old hymnal that I came across. We don't sing it, but it was sung quite often. And it says, Jesus took my burden. And the words of the song was, "Jesus took my burden that I could no longer bear. Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fear subsided. My spirit was made strong, for Jesus took my burden and left me with a song." Now that's a beautiful song, but it's just not biblically accurate. The hymnal that I mentioned, "Jesus took my burden and left me with a song," no, He gives you a song in the night. And as you bear your burden, it doesn't say that you'll get rest from your burden, but it says you'll get rest in your burden. It doesn't say that Jesus takes away your burden. In fact, it says that because of what He does, it will lighten it. But it doesn't make the burden itself change in its weight. The truth is, He doesn't really do one thing to the burden in itself. It's going to weigh the same. Well, then what does He do? He simply gives you another yoke or another harness, and it makes the same burden easier for you to bear. Stay with me, please. Back in World War II, I heard someone say that he was a jumper, one of those guys that paratrooper. And he says that the first parachute they came out with, there was a strap that went over your shoulders, and it was about 2 inches wide. It was a harness. He said when you jumped out of the airplane and when you pulled that cord, he said it felt like your skin was being pulled off your body. It just had a real snap effect. But then he says they got a new harness. And now when they jumped out of the same plane, They jumped from the same height. They had the same type of parachute above them. But the new harness made such a difference. Ah, it didn't rip your skin off. And so the Lord is saying, when you have a burden, you come to me. He doesn't say when you come to him, you can take off your burden and go back to what you're doing. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, when you come to me, I will give you another harness. And he's saying, when you come to me, you will have the same burden, but I will give you another harness, another yoke. Now, let me just stop for a moment. When you come to Christ and you get involved in the kingdom, he has a yoke. He has a burden. And we are to take his yoke and his burden. You say, well, I already have my own. He will help you with yours. But in the process of you becoming involved with his yoke and his burden, he says is easy and my burden is light. And so my burden is light, but I mentioned earlier that he doesn't take it away. And when it says, when he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light, or we could say in another way, my yoke is easy, so my burden is light. Or I eat lunch, I am full. Or I am full because I ate lunch. Or I have my coat on, which I don't, I took it off. But if I had my coat on, and because of that, I'm warm. And he is saying, my yoke is easy, and so my burden is light. Now, this may shock someone's thinking, and I want to make a statement that, and it's this, every person needs a burden. Every person needs a burden, but Jesus says, I will not lift your heartache, I will not take it away, but I want you to come to me, and I will give you another harness, and it will make the same burden easier to bear. Another thing I want you to notice, the scripture says, is the word yoke. Now, the word yoke means there's two people in it. The word yoke in Webster's dictionary means a frame that harnesses a pair. A frame that harnesses a pair. If I was to illustrate, I'd pull a couple of you up here, and how many have ever seen a yoke where two animals get in and you see these two holes that each animal gets into? And if I was to be in one and say my wife is Jesus and she gets into the other, and then the reins behind us, that person then steers us in the direction they desire to go. And so I want you to notice in the word yoke, the yoke means there's two people in it. And to illustrate, as I just mentioned, so Jesus comes alongside of us, or we come alongside of him. We get into his harness, his yoke. And as I get into it, now there's two of us. How many have ever seen two animals that get in and they don't cooperate, and one wants to go and the other doesn't want to go? So when we do what the Lord says and we enter into what he's saying, okay, Lord, I'm entering into your yoke and your harness and you're beside me, then we need to recognize just from practicality that I need to just go in step with my Lord. But if I try to get ahead of him, it doesn't work. And if I get lazy and don't go, it doesn't work. So I need to learn to balance both zeal and patience. I need to balance the go ye in the gospel and the come ye in the gospel. And Jesus says, as I get in with him, he says, I'm going to help you pull. In other words, if you have a burden, you come to Jesus with it. He is there. And he says, I'm going to give you a new yoke. I will give you a new harness. But that isn't all. He says, I am going to get in it with you, right alongside you, and help you pull. And I'm going to get in the same harness that I'm offering you that you get into. And the truth is that God does promise Or let me back up. He doesn't promise to get rid of the burden, as I keep repeating myself, or to lift the burden or to take it from you. And the truth is, we need burdens. Now, that may be odd to some's theology, but it is biblically sound. And as I quoted in the book of Galatians, let every man bear his own burden. And the truth is, we need burdens to carry and loads to carry. In fact, we are seeing in our nation a culture that is not healthy in this regard. And that is that people don't want to work. It's unfortunate. I came out of the old school that even though my parents took care of me and they provided shelter for me, as early as I can remember, around the age of 12 or 13, my parents said, you need to do some work. You need to have some responsibilities. It's not all play, 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 watch TV, eat peanut butter sandwiches, and watch Three Stooges. By the way, do you know for Father's Day last Sunday, my wife gave me the most wonderful gift for Father's Day. She let me watch the Three Stooges. And she went in the other room as she heard me in there laughing, and I can already see some women roll their eyes. I don't know what it is about Three Stooges that men just get it. But I go back to, it is not good that young people, as they are being trained in the way that they should go, that they not be given responsibilities at home and work at home. And whether it was I had a paper route, or whether it was to clean your room or do the dishes. In fact, you will find whenever the Bible speaks of sleep, it's usually in a negative context, and good things don't happen. And I say this illustrating people that should have a burden and a yoke and responsibilities. And for instance, the scripture says, while men slept, and Jesus is talking about the seed being sown, while men slept, an enemy came and sowed tares. Doing nothing, not laboring for the Lord as we should, or as the scripture says in Lamentation, it is good for a young man to bear the yoke in his youth. In fact, it wasn't a good thing when Samson fell asleep. And when the disciples fell asleep in the garden, not good. When they fell asleep on the Mount of Transfiguration, not good. The scripture says a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, and soon shall thy poverty come. But the Bible says it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. But this idea of, and it grieves me when I see parents with children as they're growing up, And I know we want to just love them and pour into them all of the wonderful things maybe we said we didn't have. And all that is good. But mixed in with that, there must be work. There must be responsibility that they begin to get familiar with. And so it shouldn't be that when they leave home, they have no work ethic. And they have not learned responsibility and such things of that. And so the Bible says it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. The idea that a young person, all he needs to do is to play, 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 and play ball. And no, that is good, but mixed in with it should be bearing the yoke, have a job, and other things of that nature. Now, the Bible says, as I mentioned in Lamentations 3:27, it is good for a man to bear the yoke in his youth. Just television and play and more play and watching some guy in shorts run up and down a court, pushing a ball around, making millions of dollars, and dreaming that that's what you're going to be is not really realistic. And it sets a false illusion up. And so people are being destroyed by not bearing their own yoke. And it is unfortunate that our country is encouraging by just giving people money, at the same time not requiring them to do the best they can to get work for themselves. Now, let's get back onto the good part. That can cause people to just not really get into the message a lot. But please don't miss this. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. That is not just one group. And this is what is often overlooked that he's talking about. He is addressing two groups here. Number one, come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. That's the first group. The second group, and are heavy laden. The same reward, the same invitation for both, and he says, I will give you rest. Now, what is it when he refers to those that labor? When he addresses those that labor, those are the people that cause their own burden. They are those that have heavy laden, are ones that did not cause their own burden. It was loaded on them by somebody else. But those that labor is referring to people that caused their own burden. And Jesus is saying, if you labor, in other words, you have reaped what you have sown, or you got into trouble, I want you to come unto me and I'm going to give you rest. Or if somebody else got into trouble, and because you love them and it has now caused you to be heavy laden, I'm also going to give you rest. If somebody got you into trouble, I want you to come. If you got yourself into trouble, I want you to come. And to me, that is such a wonderful truth, because God is just as interested in you who caused your own problem to give you rest as he is into giving the person who didn't cause their problem, but they have burdens laid upon them just the same. If you got yourself into trouble and you're a scoundrel and you messed up, God is interested in those that hurt and the burden as a result of it. Not how you got the hurt, but the fact that you have the hurt. And simply if you are in that category and you labor, you come unto me and take my yoke upon you. Let me illustrate it this way. Here is a young lady. She's not married. She got herself into trouble. Now, I'm not talking about any particular person, although I can remember, and I've mentioned to you the last time I was with Dr. Mark Armstrong, who was Becky's pastor for 20-some years. And while I was there, we were out at lunch with his youth pastor. And we were talking about, I don't even remember what we were talking about. It wasn't the things of the Lord, I don't know what it was, but we were just having good fellowship when all of a sudden, without warning, the Lord spoke to me, as I've shared, and I immediately knew, though neither of them had mentioned anything to me. I said, excuse me, when he got done, and I told him, I said, the Lord just spoke to me. His youth pastor was there. He was a young man, about 40. I didn't think I'd ever see the day come when I could look down at somebody 40 and say, that's a young man. But I said, his name was Gunny. I said, the Lord just has revealed to me that you have a young girl in your youth group. She's about 14 or 15. I see her, and she just found out she's pregnant. She's not married, and she's scared to death. And she's very troubled. She's going to have the baby, but the Lord is going to use you, Gunny, and this church to help that girl through this time and this grieving and no doubt this burden that she has. I remember Mark looking at Gunny and said, I didn't tell him, and Gunny said, I didn't tell him. But I learned a theology out of that, or it confirmed a theology, and that is this, that the Lord is interested in your hurt, even if you caused your hurt, and he has compassion for you. And yet, at the same time, and I don't know this, let's suppose she had parents. And now the parents, though they didn't cause it, and though they are not responsible for it, now they are going to be burdened in a different way. They are going to be heavy laden. And how many know what it is to have your children, when they hurt, you hurt? And regardless of how their hurt came about, because they hurt, you hurt. And she's not married, and she found out that she's pregnant. And let us all understand, the girl got herself into trouble. And yet, the Lord still loves her. And God says to this group, you come unto me, and I will give you rest. In this case, he was going to give them rest, but we are brothers and sisters, and we are going to help one another. But I want to bring out a Pharisee. An attitude of a Pharisee can come to any Christian if we're not careful. The Pharisee attitude would say this, you put the burden on yourself. Or one could say, but wait a minute, you put it on yourself. And we have made an expression, but it's not good. And that expression is this, you made your bed, now you have to live in it. But that's not the attitude that our Savior has. The God that we serve recognizes that you messed up, you're responsible, you chose, but I want you to come unto me, and I'm going to give you rest. And yet, on the same token, if they're now her parents, they hear of it, and they're grieved, and now they are heavy laden, the same invitation goes to them as it does to the girl, with just as much passion, with just as much concern to both, and it is not a respecter of persons in either case. Let me illustrate it again. My father had an unwilling heart. And he was unsurrendered when it came to serving God. He was raised in church, but he became bitter. He put his eyes on people. And plus, he didn't want to surrender. And during those years, when Sunday came along, he was miserable. And he just was angry all day Sunday. I remember growing up, my father, because of the decisions that he made that he's responsible for, he would go out into the garage and he hid his whiskey and he would drink. Mama wouldn't allow the drinking into the house, but he would often come into the house and Mother could smell it, and Mother, it grieved her, and she would cause her to go to prayer. Now, my mother was a very godly woman. She's one of the most wonderful mothers I have ever known in my life. Now, on one hand, my father threw away many years of his life by not surrendering to the Lord. And as a result of his own decision that he's responsible for, he labored and he had a heavy burden. He had feelings that come as a result of not surrendering to the Lord. And he labored under that. And yet, he was responsible for it. The Lord, and when my father did come to the Lord, he came knowing I caused my own hurt. I caused my own feelings that I have. And yet the Lord was as just interested in him coming as he was who my mother, who now has the second part of the category, she is heavy laden. And so the Lord comes to my father and says, you come, that labor. I love you and I care for you just as much as I do my mother. And when he says that to my father, now he looks to my mother and he says, Evelyn, your husband has loaded you up with burdens. He's broken your heart. He has hurt your marriage. And because of that, you are heavy laden. You've had to go to work at mill school and be a secretary. You have had to carry this burden and this grieving, and you've had to take on the responsibility of bringing up the three children to know the Lord, and the husband hasn't helped out. And she was heavy laden, and yet the Lord comes to her with the same passion and the same tenderness and says, you come unto me, and I will give you rest. Even though my father chose to live the life he lived, his passion was there for him. And it is such a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful promise. He comes to my father who caused his trouble, and he says, you come. And he came to my mother who did not cause her problem, but still is heavy laden. And the Lord has compassion on both. What motivates the Lord that invites you to come is not what caused the problem. What motivates him is that you hurt. That's what motivates him. Let me illustrate it this way. You're a parent, or you are parents, and you have a wayward child. I have dealt with this in the pulpit or in the ministry ever since I can remember. In every congregation that I've ever spoken to, I don't think at one time has there ever been a parent that sat in the audience or parents that sat in the audience that did not have a wayward child. It's not your fault. You did the best you could, but somebody else loaded your wagon of what you are carrying. You didn't put one single brick into the back of that wagon that or truck that you're carrying. Or this morning, some have been deserted by a mate, or someone has been unfaithful to you, and you did the best you could. You were the one that hung in there, but because of the other's action, you are heavy laden. Or that lady, that husband, that they grieve because of actions of their children or brothers and sisters, and because of their choices, and yet your heart breaks. The Lord says to you, come. Oh, the broken hearts because what another family member did. And their actions placed your load and made it heavier. I was at a church conference about 10 years ago. There were three of us ministers. We all entered the ministry when we were about 21. I didn't know one real well as much as I knew the other at this conference. But during this conference, I noticed at the end of the service, for keeping privacy, he was laying on the floor. And I said to my other friend, boy, it's good to see so-and-so really seeking the Lord. My, I just love to see that. And then he said to me, well, he's seeking the Lord, but he's really hurting. His son, who was a PK, got into a fight, a gun was involved, and the other person was shot, and his son is responsible, and he is hurting for his boy. It doesn't matter what your children do, you love them. And whether they are right or wrong, you still love them. It does not override the fact that you love them. And he said to me as I looked and saw him laying on the floor, seeing this father grieve, oh, I thought, oh, Lord, help him, as he was seeking the Lord for his son. He didn't cause it. He didn't do it. But he was heavy laden. And it is so true, those that we love, when we see their lives go through trouble, whether they caused it or not is not the issue. The fact is we hurt with them because they hurt. And I want you to know that the father was hurting when he saw the prodigal son. The son was guilty in every aspect. But the reason the father ran to him, it was not based on the fact of anything other than he knew his son was hurting. We just came from Arizona. I had a great time. I got a little sun. Laid out in the pool, my wife said, you better put sunscreen on. I said, no, I'm fine. I won't be out long. I won't spare you the embarrassment of showing you my red lobster chest. But the next day I was hurting, and the natural attitude immediately was, I ain't feeling sorry for you, I told you. But she did. She had compassion on me. Don't you? Men are big babies. But while we were there, as you all know, our grandson has cystic fibrosis. Every day when I would see them hook him up and his body shake from the treatment for an hour or 40 minutes or a half hour in the morning and then 20 minutes at night, but it takes about an hour by the time they go through, I can guarantee you those parents are heavy laden. Everybody who loves anybody that hurts, you're heavy laden. But we have a wonderful promise. We have a wonderful Savior that invites us. And let me say this, they didn't cause the cystic fibrosis. They had no idea that each of them had the gene in them. They did not know that. They did not do one thing to cause that child to have cystic fibrosis. And let me give just a word of wisdom, please. I'm going to get personal. This child, I recognize, needs a healing. I'm very well aware of that. But when people come up and they try to show compassion, and I understand this, I would rather hear someone say, "I'm praying for you," rather than to say, "God's going to heal that child." Yes, I believe that. I understand that. But until the healing comes, we're praying for you. Because it can be very frustrating when you're believing for a healing, and yet God knows what He's doing until it happens. But just to have a flippant answer, and I know that's not the intention, but that is often a very tender area, if you understand what I'm saying. And so when we help one another bear their burdens, and not that I don't appreciate everyone's faith, but you can have a burden for so many reasons. You can be unfairly criticized, or you can have a heartache that someone else caused. Maybe even God caused your burden, or allowed it, as in the case of Joseph, who when his brothers threw him in a pit, and Joseph is hurting, and yet we read in Scripture, and God was very good to Joseph to give him an understanding. Joseph understood when he looked at his brothers and he said, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." That means God is the one that brought the burden in. Now, I'm talking to folks that many things that you are carrying, it's not your fault. You did not do anything to bring your burden about. And we have burdens this morning, and you had nothing to do with it. But it's been placed on you by God's infinite wisdom. But I have news for you. Jesus is saying, "You come to me, and I will give you a new harness." Maybe it's a mental anguish, a stress. Maybe it's loneliness. Do you know loneliness can be a great pain and a great burden? And that is why the Scriptures exhort us that we are to call on the elderly and the shut-ins and the widows and to help them. Now let's go over to the other crowd. You sold your own birthright. The problem you are in, you caused it. But please listen as I describe it. It could be you're the one that picked up the bottle. You're the one that quit church. You're the one that turned your back on the Lord. You chose to lie. You chose to steal. You chose to drink. You chose the drugs. You knew what you did was wrong. You chose to gamble. You chose the wrong sexual behavior. You chose to sell your future, to sell your joy for a moment of pleasure. And in spite of your conscience telling you not to do it, in spite of your back training that tells you not to do it, you did it. But I have good news for you. The same Savior that says to the heavy laden, "I want you to come," the same Savior with the same passion and the same love says to you, "I want you to come unto me, and I will give you rest." I have the same harness for both. So let me wrap this up. The invitation is the same to both groups. "Come unto me, all ye," all. I love that, all. Doesn't leave anybody out. "All you that labor heavy laden, those that caused it, those that did not, come unto me, heartbroken wife. Come unto me, heartbroken husband. Come unto me, parent with a broken heart, with a wayward child. Come unto me, you lonely one who has grieving in your heart. Come unto me, widow. Come unto me, senior saint, where the circumstances of life, as you've watched your many loved ones die and the loneliness creeps in, I want you to come unto me." And as soon as we get to glory, it'll be totally different. But as long as we're here, Jesus wants His children happy. He wants them well. And He invites you to enter into His harness, His yoke, and you will find rest for your souls. The same invitation is to the stricken as well as to the striker. The same invitation is to the smitten as well to the smiter. The same invitation is to the hurting as well as to the hurter. The same invitation is to the one that is being forsaken as the one is the forsaker. It's not what caused your hurt that moves God. It's that you hurt. Please listen carefully as I repeat myself. An attitude of the Pharisee can come upon any believer. Take this young girl in orange who is hurting. God doesn't look down and see how you got there. What he sees is that you're there. He doesn't focus on how it happened. He focuses on your hurt. And this poor man cried unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him. Our human nature often is not that way. We have compassion on one if they're hurting, if it's not their fault. But we have a tendency to say, well, they made their bed, now they're going to have to lie in it. That is not the heart of God. The Savior that we serve, he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Psalms 107 tells about God's people that got into trouble, that brought the trouble on themselves. They were bound in affliction and iron, and it says in verse 11, because they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. It was their labor that put them there. It's not why, but where. If you picked up 100 pounds, or someone placed 100 pounds on you, either way, it's 100 pounds. And may the church have a revival to where we become like Christ. May we have compassion on those that caused the hurt as much as we have compassion on those that did not cause the hurt. And if you do, you will find that you will be like Jesus, because Jesus is one that cares about the hurt. Suffering humanity is suffering humanity. It doesn't matter how the humanity is suffering. The fact is that it is suffering, and that is what stirs the heart of God. So the text I close, Debbie, would you come, teaches us three things. The same invitation is for both. He means it for the one group as much as he means it for the other. The same compassion is for both. He has love for the one just as much that caused it as for the one that did not cause it. He sees hurt, and he moves to correct it. The same love is for both. And last, the reward is the same. It's the same rest for the one that caused it as the one that did not cause it. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Now the burden of sin is gone. That is gone. But the other burdens I'm talking about, he invites you to come to him. Whether you caused it or whether you didn't cause it, he wants to give you rest, and the rest is the same. I believe the Lord is here this morning. And the devil loves to condemn us. And the devil loves to beat us up. You can't expect the Lord to help you. You caused it. But the Word of God, the God that we serve, doesn't matter how you got there, you're there. And he will help you. And he invites you, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Are you learning of Him? Because as you learn of Him, you're going to discover what I've just said. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many could use a good dose of God's love in your life for those that labor as well as the heavy laden? Would you stand this morning? If you identify with this message this morning and you say, Pastor, I think I'm carrying too much of the load. I think I need to enter into His yoke a little more. I need to flow with the Lord. Because if I'm in that harness with Him as I should be, and going at His speed and working with Him, His yoke is easy and my burden is light. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment, how many would say this morning, Pastor, I need to fit into His harness? Maybe you already have, but you need to fit in a little better, that your burden will be lighter. He'll do it for you, and you won't be carrying it near as much. Lord, you see those hands. You see those, Lord, that either they caused it or they didn't. Makes no difference. Whenever we take character out of faith, Lord, it ceases to be faith. But oh God, I pray for your people. Lord, those that are hurting, minister to them. Give them comfort. You said, comfort ye my people. Oh God, I hear your words as you invite us to come unto you. I'm going to open the altars. I hope that you would come and find a place to pray. Whether you be in either category, if you've got a burden, let's go to the Lord. He will help you and strengthen you in your walk with Him. Thank you, Jesus. Let Him love you. He does not condemn. He simply welcomes you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.